If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16? Amen. And I understand my position today. A lot of times when you step behind a pulpit, you just don't know what you're getting into. But I understand today that I am the one thing that is between you and July the 4th cookout. There's one obstacle today, and it's me. And I don't take that lightly. Amen. I appreciate all that we've done so far and in your worship. But if you can give me just a few minutes, I promise I won't preach long. I am cognizant of the holiday. Amen. And I celebrate our independence with everybody else. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Amen. If you're in Matthew chapter 16, say amen. Amen. Starting at verse number 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to notice that there's no wavering in Peter's voice that day. There's no question. There's no double-mindedness. Peter was convinced quite clearly that, in fact, Jesus was the Christ. There was no substitute, no artificial sweeteners when sugar is around. Jesus is, in fact, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And also I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Say, shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. And I'm going to take my key text from the next verse, and this is something that struck me a couple weeks ago. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. So everybody say, the keys. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I just want to preach on a very simple thought for a very short time. The keeper of the keys. The keeper of the keys. If you have a set of keys next to you, get them out for me. It's going to be very unorthodox. It's like a tambourine, but more annoying. Somebody grab some keys. Jingle them. Let me hear your keys. That's what we're going to preach about today. I want you to hold on to them. You can put your Bibles down and lift your hands, lift your keys, and say, God, I want to be a keeper of the keys today. Lord, we love you. We're asking you, God, to bless us today. God, help us, Lord Jesus. Remind us of our positioning with you. Remind us, Lord, of the authority in which you've given us. God, and help me to preach real good today. God, anoint my mouth and anoint my tongue, God, to bring forth your word, God. Give me the strength, God, the mental fortitude, God, to bring this message into our lives, God, where we can grow and be successful for the kingdom of God. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated with your keys. So this is one of those things that when you read it 100 times and it never jumps. And then one time it just pops like it's a firework on the 4th of July. So why does he describe in verse 19 the spiritual gifts which he's about to give Peter as the keys? Why is he saying, I'm going to impart to you, Peter, the keys? He could have said, I'm going to give to you the spiritual knowledge. He could have said, I'm going to provide to you the revelation. But he did not. He said, in fact, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Keys are used to describe an object which is inserted into a lock, which provides access to what is behind the lock. It is also what is used to put handcuffs on criminals. The keys are what unlock those things. We protect our valuables with keys. I've got on here today a key, amen, for a boat. I've got a key for my house. I've got a key to the church, which is valuable, and I've got a key to a truck, amen, which locks the door and keeps the things inside the truck, and the truck securely in my parking lot or in my driveway at my home. I protect the things of value with said keys, amen. Keys are what provide the safety for those things. It provides the security of those things which are valuable, from grandma's prized china cabinet, amen, that she always kept in the corner. Anybody else got a grandma with a prized china cabinet? Had the little skeleton key to where she would pull the precious china that she didn't want the babies playing with through the year. Anybody eat on special china at Thanksgiving and Christmas? Am I the only one? The little gold gilded edge plates with the blue filigree patterns, those were grandma's special china. And we didn't get to eat. You knew when grandma pulled the special china from the china cabinet, we was fixing to eat. Evidently, I'm the only one who gets excited about eating. Praise the Lord. So it's those china cabinets and protecting the things that were valuable for grandma's china cabinet, or the same gold deposits that are kept within the belly of Fort Knox. Keys provide safety against those who would take those things which are valuable to us. We put important things and documents and money and gold and things of value in safe deposit boxes. Where? Behind lock and key. We incarcerate murderers and rapists and thieves and all the like under lock and key. Why? To protect our loved ones and our communities. We put them behind the safety of a key. At bedtime, we lock the front door of the house and we check the locks on the doors to the car. Why do we do those things? Because there are things behind that door that are valuable to us. Our wives, our babies, our dogs, our cats, our gun safes, all the things we keep in our home that we hoard to ourselves of value. We lock them up. Why? Because they're valuable to us. And so every night before bed, just last night I was laying in bed and I didn't remember locking the door. And I said, Nicole, I don't remember locking the door. And I was already snuggled into the bed in cool sheets. And I love cool sheets. Anybody else, praise the Lord, love cool sheets. And I was already snuggled and my eyes was closed. And I said, I don't remember locking the door. And she said, I remember locking the door. And those things are valuable to me. I would have gotten up out of bed reluctantly, I might add. I would have gotten up out of bed and locked the door if she had not reassured me that in fact behind lock and key were all of the things that are of value to me. Because keys protect the things which are valuable. All of these things are done by the safety of the keys. That's why verse 19 jumped out at me when reading this small section of scripture. Often we read this story and we glaze right over the small amount of and the seemingly insignificant portion of scripture, this one caveat at the front of verse 19. But Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom. Why did he word it like that? What about the keys to the kingdom? Because it protects some things that are valuable to us. And then what about this situation prompted God to give them to Peter and not to Barnabas or one of the other disciples? Why didn't he give it to John or Matthew? He didn't. He gave it to Peter. So there must be a reason why. And if we look back into the context of Matthew 16, Jesus begins the story by asking the men, whom do men say that I am? And he was asking the common man, the guy at the grocery store, who does he say, in fact, that I am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elias, which is Elijah, or Jeremias, which is Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And the common man had good thoughts of who Jesus was. There was a general consensus that Jesus was, in fact, a good man. He was a goodly man, even a man of God, maybe even had been confused as a prophet. The average man in Jerusalem at the time thought well of Jesus. They seen him do good works for the world around him. They seen him perform miracles. They seen him, they tasted the broken bread amongst the desert. They had tasted Cana's wedding wine. They had saw the fractured fishes be spread among 5,000. They knew that Jesus was in fact a man of God and that he was a good man. But we can have a right idea of, we can have a good, high, honorable thought of Jesus and still not have him in the right place. We can view Jesus as a good man and it not be good enough. We can recognize that Jesus was a great man, which is what the world tries to do. We try and teach leadership, servant leadership designed by Jesus. That's in fact good. There is some servant leadership things that we can learn from Jesus, but he was more than a servant leader. He was more than just a good man. You can have a good idea of who Jesus is and not know who Jesus is. Can anybody say amen? Oh, somebody help me today. Praise the Lord. They tasted and they saw, they felt, they witnessed the miracles, the signs, the wonders, but they did not have a correct perspective of who Jesus exactly was. These were not thought of as his enemies. They were thought of, they were good, solid people who were sober and had watched the miracles. They still didn't have a good sign of who Jesus was. It is possible to think those good thoughts of God and yet not have the right thoughts of God. It is possible to have a high opinion of God and yet not high enough of God. We then find Peter who stands and proclaims after Jesus didn't get the answer he wanted. And he asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." There was no wavering in his voice. Peter, here we see a correct perspective of Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I can imagine in my mind's eye Jesus fixating, snapping his head to attention to hear what Peter would say that day. Ah, finally somebody has gotten a good picture of just exactly who I am. And is that perspective, it was that idea that Peter had come across, which Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." It was that attention, amen, that Peter had paid to the details. I mean, Peter had tasted Cana's wine. Peter had tasted the broken bread and the fractured fishes that fed 5,000. He knew what it was like, amen, to feel the blessing, to taste and see that the Lord was good and know that he was more than just a man. He had saw, amen, the demoniacs delivered. He had saw the healing of those who were broken. He had saw the opening of the blind eyes and the opening of the deaf ears. And he did not know that Jesus was man. He said, "Thou art the Christ." And then we have to make that proclamation in our lives. We have to recognize that Jesus isn't a substitute. He's not an artificial sweetener. There's not a better thing coming. He's the real deal. And Jesus is in fact the Christ. And that's where we find Peter's boldness come from. I like Peter. Peter and I get along real good. Peter is the guy that I assimilate most to in the New Testament. I like that feller. That's my people. When I read stories about how Jesus, amen, Peter cut the ear off the guard in the the Garden of Gethsemane. When I read him cutting the ear off that guard, I know Peter. And I'm going to tell you something I know about Peter. Peter wasn't trying to cut that joker's ear off. He was trying to split that dude's melon. That's what I'd have done. That's how I know Peter. He's impetuous. He's loud. He's boisterous. He's the type that says what he thinks, and he don't care what the repercussions are. Peter's my man. That's my homeboy. That's my wife. Amen. I assimilate with Peter. I recognize him. I connect with Peter. I find Peter as an interesting character within the pages of Scripture. And I understand how bold he must have been that day. I find myself being one of those people that's 100% in or 100% out. And I go from stages, like I go, and this is something else my wife, amen, can confirm for you in the spirit. I go from turkey season, and after turkey season, I get ready for fishing season. And after fishing season, I go right straight into deer hunting season. And when deer hunting gets cold, then I go into duck season. When duck season gets cold and everything freezes up, I go to ice fishing. And then I go to coyote hunting. And then it's time to put everything away and start over and go back to turkey season. And I'm 100% in. When it's turkey season, I'm 100% in on turkey season. And when it's deer season, I'm 100% in on deer season. It consumes my mind. It consumes what I am. And that's what Peter is at this point. And Peter hears the call of God. And Peter hears the asking of the question of God. And we find Peter at the moment. We find Peter at the moment that he's 100% in with Jesus. There's no wavering. He's 100% about Jesus. And I know Peter's that way because when we read after Jesus' crucifixion, Peter said, I don't even know that joker. That was a moment he was ready for turkey season. That's what Peter was ready for. We're 100% in or we're 100% out. We find Peter this moment 100% in. He's convinced at this moment that there is nothing else more powerful than what Jesus is doing at this moment. And we find this interesting little situation when he says that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. And so we start to see this spiritual gifting that falls upon Peter, and he says, and then also I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And a lot of people get confused right there because they think when Jesus says upon this rock that the rock refers to Peter. And it is not. The rock refers to what Peter had to say about Jesus. That thou art the Christ. That's the rock I'm going to build my church on. The revelation that I am in fact the Christ. And that I am the Son of the living God. And there's not any other. There's no substitute in me. There's no second place. There's no second idea. There's no plan B. I'm it. Jesus said, I am it today. And I'm going to be it for eternity. And Peter's the first one to recognize that Jesus said, I'm it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is one God and Father of all who's above all and in all and through all. And great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit and seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world and received up into glory. Peter was the first one who recognized the rock that is Jesus Christ. And we see this moment, this exchange between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question and Peter exchanges for him the truth. And Jesus said, in exchange for your truth, I'm going to provide some things to you. First, he tells him that I will, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So now he's referring to the church. He says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. God promises if we put him in the right place, and we view him in the right light, and we see him with the proper perspective. God promises a few things, and we get some keys. Amen. Keys to what? Keys to everything. And we don't have to guess because it says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Grab your keys and shake them at your neighbor and say, I got the keys. I got the keys to the kingdom. So what are those keys? What are our spiritual keys? Truth. Truth is a key. Nothing is as effective and efficient at binding up things in our lives and loosening other things in our lives as truth. John chapter 8 verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's some keys. That's some keys for locking some things up in your life. Locking up some discontent. locking up some broken relationships, locking up some unpeace, and some times of struggle when our mind just can't seem to focus right, and the whole world is going crazy, and I can't seem to make things work at work, and I can't seem to make things work in my relationships, and I can't seem to figure out my checkbook. And God said, if you'll know the truth, then the truth shall make you free. You have keys, amen, to the Bible says that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Some of us tolerate the devil way too much. Some of us put up with discontent way too much. Some of us put up with things that we ought not put up with way too often because we got keys. And I think sometimes we put the keys in the bottom of our purse or we slide them in the pocket and we forget and we put up with things that God never intended for us to put up with. I got some keys. The name of Jesus is a key. Matthew 16 and 19, from what we read today, says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you go without some things, you need to pull your keys and loose some things. You need to loose some blessing in your life. This isn't God's responsibility. He said, I'm going to give you the keys. And he said, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Some of us got to loose some peace. Some of us got to loose some joy. Some of us got to loose blessings. Some of us, amen, we got to speak life over our job, over our promotions, over the things that, man, that bind us up in life. How often we forget about the keys that God gave us, and we let them slide to the bottom of the purse, or we leave them hanging on the key ring. Is there any more desperate a sound than you're headed out to work in the morning, lock the door and shut it, and think about your keys laying on the dining room table? Oh, that is, my wife hates it because I go to work before her, and most of the time she's still in bed, and I have had on more than one occasion to call her and say, I forgot my keys. And yet spiritually we forget our spiritual keys. In exactly the same way. How desperate a feeling must it be to not have any real peace and real joy and real ability to bind up the devil's work every day, bind up the devil on our babies, bind up the devil on our marriages, bind up. Look, I'm only preaching this sermon because God dealt with me about this. I'm not preaching to you because I'm up here high and lofty and I got it together. I'm preaching this to you today because God spoke to me 2 weeks ago and said, you have let this go on long enough. Let me remind you, Justin, that you got some keys, brother, that belong to you. You said I'm Jesus and that I'm the Christ and I'm the Lord of your life, and I gave you some things and you left them laying on the dining room table and shut the door and forgot about them. And we live our lives without blessing. We live our lives without real peace and without real joy simply because we've forgotten that we are a keeper of the keys. The name of Jesus is a key. Matthew 16 and 19 said, whatsoever we bind, we'll be bound, and whatsoever we loose, we'll be loose. Matthew 18, verse 18 through 20, if you can go there, Sister Bree, that'd be great. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound. I told you Matthew 16 said that. Well, Matthew 18 says it again, word for word. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Go on, number 19. And again, I say unto you that if two or three should on earth should agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, please. For where two or three are gathered together in what name? In my name, the keys, amen, bear the name. If you look at any key, it's got a logo. It's got a word on it that says to what lock that goes to. It's got a number that says what the lock combination is when you get home. If you have any question about what your keys go to or who gave them to you, the one who belongs to them, amen, the one who built that key, the one who, my Toyota key has a Toyota logo on it, so that I don't have to forget when I climb in the GMC that I don't have the right key. It tells me who gave me the key. Toyota gave me the key. And the same way with the key that Jesus' name provides, it's got a name on it. It tells me who built that key. It tells me what locks it unopens. It tells me what things I can bind with it. The name of Jesus is, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you got any question about what keys, search out the name. Find out Jehovah Jireh, thou art my provider. Search out Jehovah Shalom, thou art my peace. Find out what the keys say you can have and what you can't have. Real authority bears the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, please. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In what name? In my name. They shall cast out devils. You have the right to send him packing. You don't have to put up with the lies no more. You don't. Today we're going to be able to go home and pull out the keys and say, depression, get on out of here. I ain't got no time for your mess no more. Amen. Oppression, amen. Thoughts of not being good enough or not being strong enough or not having the right pedigree or my mom and daddy didn't raise me right and therefore I have to be an alcoholic because they said I was an alcoholic. No, the Bible says in my name they shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Go ahead, verse 18. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, which means in Jesus' name, my keys said diabetes has got to go, and a bad back has got to go, and the bunions on your toes, they got to go. Amen. And cancer's got to fall off and flee. Amen. I don't have to put up with no more with what the devil says. I'm just here to remind you what God reminded me of, that we got keys that belong to us. And I put up with the devil for way too long. Amen. 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 I put up with his mess for far too long. I get tired of not being good enough, not feeling good enough. I get tired of not having no peace and no joy. I get tired of not having blessing. I get tired of listening to the antics, the stories, the lies, the junk. I get tired of the world casting ideas on me that do not belong to me. There's so many lies that get cast upon us. And we lay them across our shoulder. We count them as truth because somebody with paper on their wall said so. The Bible says we got keys. And I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom. I'm tired of statistics trying to prove their lies. I'm tired of the junk that casts up on my life that I feel like I can't get rid of. Somebody, go back to the dining room table. And grab your keys. Yeah. 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 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4 and 5, actually 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of what? Against the knowledge of God. Why is that important? Because Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you put up with mess, it's because you left your keys on the table. Anybody hear what I say today? Anybody else confirm that the Holy Ghost said, go pick up your keys. Go pick up your loved ones. Go pick up your joy. You left it at home. Go pick up your peace. You left it on the table. You laid it down on the desk next to your computer and you walked out the door and forgot it. Go pick up your blessing keys. You left them right next to the checkbook that's covered in red because Everybody told you you couldn't have more. That God doesn't want to bless you. That God doesn't want to keep you. That God doesn't want to provide for you. We got keys. We got keys of real power. Wish somebody would shake your keys this morning at the devil and say, I've had enough. I've had enough today. Not one more step. Not one more day. Stand with me if you would all over this place. I told you I wouldn't preach long. It's a simple thought. And I take into account that it's simple, but I'm simple. My family and I have been putting up with a struggle for nigh on 3 years. And I have let the devil whip me. I have let the devil whip my family. Because the dad forgot about his keys. Because we forgot that we own the keys to our own home. And the devil don't. And if I believe that Jesus is the King and that He is the Christ and that He is the Son of the living God and there ain't no other, and I put Him in the right position. See, he wouldn't have offered Him the keys if He hadn't have put Jesus in the right and correct position. If He hadn't have looked at Him through the correct perspective, there were no keys. But because He said, Thou art the Christ. If I say, God, You are my God. You are my King. You are in fact the Lord of Lords. And the Lord of hosts, and You are the Prince of Peace, and You, O Lord Jesus, are my Counselor. You are the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And if I put Jesus in that perspective, He said, okay, now that I'm in the right spot, I can give You some things. I'm going to give You some keys. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I know I'm not the only one that's got some things that need bound today, and I know I'm not the only one that's got some things that need loose today. And if you got those things, I want you to put them in your mind. Grab your keys and find a spot at this altar today. Come down and pray. Say, God, I'm taking back the authority to the things that belong to me. I got the keys that says I can. Amen. The devil might say I don't, but your word, the truth. I've got the truth key today. And Your word says I can have it. I've got the name key today. And the name says I can have it. I don't have to go without not one more day. Amen. Worship with them as they sing. Please come. Find those things which you need bound. Find those things which you need loosed and seek the Lord for them today. Lord, we love You. God, we're asking You, Lord Jesus, to do it, God, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I feel like a little dog with a big old bone, and I don't know what to do with it. And I'm gnawing on it, and I can't eat the whole thing in one bite. That's kind of how this message is. You can't consume it all in one time. So I tell you, when you go home and you go into that door and you feel those keys, when you go into your car and you open that up, remember this message. Remember this message. Take it home with you. Share it with somebody. Sometimes God gives us truth and it takes us a little minute to understand it. Sometimes we need to get tired. We need to get tired. There's a little story about a mouse. They got dropped into water, and it drowned after a few minutes. And the next mouse was dropped in. After a few minutes, it was pulled out, and it was given hope. And it got put back in. And for 60 hours after that, that mouse tried to swim, to survive. For 60 hours. Why? Because he had hope. Can I tell you today, we are dealers of hope. So when you grab those keys and you get into your car, when you go into your house, when you go into your chest, and you finger those keys, remember this, that you have the keys that you need for salvation, for your healing, for your blessing. You have those keys. You don't need anything else. You don't need anybody else to give you anything else. You have everything you need. Why? Because you have Jesus. You have Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Brother Justin, for delivering the word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds. Lord, as we celebrate our independence, Lord, Father God, in the natural, Lord, Father God, that we would celebrate our independence from sin, Lord, Father God. I pray that you would move upon our hearts and our minds, Lord, when we open those locks in our doors, in our houses, in our wherever we go, Lord, Father God, we handle some keys, Lord, that we would remember, Lord, that we hold our blessing in our hand. We hold the thing that stops us from receiving everything you have for us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, shake hands, bump elbows, tell somebody hi, tell them you love them.